KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have sunny skies and 78 degrees. We look forward to be mostly sunny today, a high of 95. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Police in Creston say there were five arrests that took place over the past 4 days. Saturday night, 42-year-old Jennifer Shaker of Greenfield was arrested at the Creston Walmart for theft in the fifth degree. Shaker was cited for the offense and released from the scene on a promise to appear. Friday evening, 41-year-old Cassandra Davis of Thayer and 25-year-old River Pesha Nichols of Atlantic were arrested at the Creston Walmart for theft in the fifth degree. Davis and Pesha Nichols were also cited for the offense and released from the scene. Friday afternoon, 49-year-old Michael Williams of Creston was served with a Union County warrant for probation violation on the original charge of domestic abuse by impeding airflow. Williams was being held in the Union County Jail at the time the warrant was served. He remains there while awaiting a bond hearing. Thursday morning, 52-year-old Jeffrey Lusk was arrested in Creston on a Union County warrant for failure to appear on the charge of criminal mischief in the second degree. Lusk remains in the jail on a $2,000 bond. Creston police said also that M&M Motors in Creston reported Saturday morning, sometime overnight Friday into Saturday, someone slashed all four tires on a vehicle in their lot. The damage was estimated at $2,200. Republicans in the Iowa House have passed legislation to shield businesses, churches, and other organizations from lawsuits over COVID-19. Representative Gary Carlson, a Republican from Muscatine, says it'll help to reboot the economy.
But we are dealing with a very uncertain time, and uncertainty is what holds back economies more than anything else. Countless businesses are concerned, but they're scared to death that they're going to be sued.
House Democratic leader Todd Pritchard of Charles City said the bill will reward businesses that haven't taken steps to adequately protect customers and workers.
We want to recover from COVID. We want businesses to thrive. We want workers to feel safe, because we know that when workers feel safe and when employers feel that it's safe to go back to work, they will. Think about what you're doing here, because you know what? Your decision and your vote has lives hanging in the balance.
Legislation would bar people from filing civil lawsuits against health providers or individuals that have, for the most part, followed public health guidelines for COVID-19. The bill's new liability protections would be retroactive to January 1st of this year. The bill now goes to the Senate. The Senate's GOP leader has identified this proposal as a priority. Senate Republicans are proposing new restrictions on state and local election officials after changes made for last week's primary elections led to record turnout from early voting with absentee ballots. Democrats like Senator Pam Yoakum of Dubuque call the GOP move voter suppression.
What are you afraid of? That more people in this state might engage in a constitutional right to cast a vote?
Secretary of State Paul Pate sent absentee ballot request forms to every registered voter in the state, urging early voting through the mail during the pandemic rather than in-person voting on primary day. That bill passed the Senate Judiciary Committee late Friday night and would forbid Pate and county auditors from mailing out absentee ballot request forms in the future. Senator Roby Smith, a Republican from Davenport, says he has certified letters outlining instances of voter fraud.
I welcome the debate. I can defend this until the cows come home, because I want to protect the ballot box.
Senator Marionette Miller-Meek of Ottumwa won last week's second congressional district primary. She disputes the idea of Pate's mailing of absentee ballot request forms spurred the turnout.
Perhaps on the Republican side, there was a record Republican turnout because you had congressional candidates who were in very spirited primaries and who were directing people and in video and in direct mail to vote by mail, instructed them how to vote by mail, reached out to them to vote by mail.
Senator Tony Bisignano, a Democrat from Des Moines, says Republicans have devised a potpourri of voter limitations.
Now, our president thinks that this country's riddled with crooks, cheats, and knaves. You're picking up his theme. Let's just choke down these absentees.
The bill also stipulates that no more than 35% of precincts may be closed on Election Day. Last Tuesday, many county voters dramatically reduced and consolidated voting sites for the primary. Republicans say that was unfair to Iowans who had to travel great distances to vote last Tuesday. The bill's next stop is debate in the full Senate. County auditors issued a joint statement saying that they are baffled that legislatures would want to cripple actions taken for last Tuesday's election that led to such success. Social media reports Saturday night showed evidence that vandals caused damage to Kinnick Stadium and the University of Iowa hospitals and clinics as protesters marched through Iowa City. According to KCRG-TV in Cedar Rapids, the vandalism happened after 9 p.m. in the plaza outside the south end zone at the stadium. Vandals also tagged the Niall Kinnick statue with graffiti. Some of the vandalism singled out football strength and conditioning coach Chris Doyle, who was put on administrative leave Saturday, pending an investigation following claims of racial disparities by former Hawkeye players. Also, public outrage over the death of George Floyd is spilling over into small towns in America. Rallies have surfaced in places like Norfolk, Nebraska, and Sioux City, Iowa, drawing hundreds of people in communities that are mostly white. Experts who study race relations say the protests illustrate the degree to which the movement demanding social justice has spread, fueled by social media and persistent but less visible racism experienced by minorities in smaller cities. The gatherings have largely been peaceful, although some turned to violence and vandalism. A man from Olwine died during a head-on crash Saturday evening in northeast Iowa's Clayton County. The Iowa State Patrol reports a 2003 Harley-Davidson operated by 50-year-old David Bashaw of Olwine was westbound on Clayton Road at around 6:20 p.m. as a 1998 Massey Ferguson farm tractor driven by 18-year-old Joshua Herzog of Garnavillo was traveling eastbound. As the cycle was negotiating a curve in the road for reasons unknown, it crossed the center line and struck the tractor head-on. Bashaw died at the scene. The accident remains under investigation. A 21-year-old man has been arrested in a shooting death that took place last week in Des Moines. KCCI-TV in Des Moines reports that Daquan Gates was booked Friday night in the Polk County Jail where he was being held without bond. Gates is charged with first-degree murder in the death of 19-year-old Robert Freeman. Officers found Freeman laying in the front yard, last week. He later died at a hospital. Detectives say they have video and firearm-related evidence linking Gates to the killing. An Iowa woman has been sentenced to probation in the overdose death of a toddler who swallowed medication while riding in her car. Waterloo Falls Courier reports the Polk County District Court judge sentenced 39-year-old Amanda Reyna Leonard Halem of Waterloo on Thursday for felony neglect of a dependent person. Authorities say Leonard Halem declined to seek medical attention for the 2-year-old whom she was trying to adopt as she was driving from Waterloo to visit her boyfriend in Des Moines in June of last year. Police were called to the boyfriend's apartment the following morning and the child was found dead. She was charged with child endangerment causing death, but the charge was reduced as part of a plea agreement. The Iowa Supreme Court has ruled that the wife of a man killed in an accident at an amusement park in 2016 can proceed with a federal lawsuit and that the park's insurance company may have to pay damages. The court ruled on Friday that the insurance company for Adventureland Park in Altoona must provide a defense for the operator of the water ride. The lawsuit alleges Adventureland employee Stuart Glenn accuses him of negligence that led to the death of his co-worker Stephen Boer. Gladys Boer of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, seeking damages including the loss of earnings, physical and mental pain and suffering, burial expenses, and punitive damages. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.